We are still on the Passover and studying what words of Jesus caused everybody to yell, crucify him, or we're silent. So we're in chapter 22 of Matthew.
That's a great topic, by the way.
Do you realize how much time we waste having Gary look for the scriptures in the Bible?
You could give me a helper.
Matthew 22, are you there?
Meet my need.
Are you there? Are you there?
I've been there for quite some time.
Verse 34.
Where are we?
Matthew 22, verse 34. We studied yesterday the resurrection. Anyway, in verse 34, but when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And it silenced them. In other words, he's saying that if you love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, then automatically you will love your neighbor as yourself, because the only one that can do that is Christ in you, the only hope of glory. So again, what is the answer? If you don't love him, then you take lessons in how to love him? No, you repent. You're never right if you have judgments against somebody. It's impossible for you to ever be right. So if you have a judgment against someone else, Jeff, the only response is repentance. Gary. Emptying. It means that part of the dead man is risen from the dead. Are you hearing?
I'm hearing Jesus Christ in you, same as him, repent.
No. But he doesn't have to repent.
He never did. Sure.
Well, he repented only when he was baptized.
How about the silent years?
Well, again, the silent years, there was all kinds of him. But he couldn't repent until he saw the emptiness and futility of human effort. And when he did, then he repented, this Son of Man. And then the Son of God was revealed. And then Satan tempted him to raise up the Son of God again. The Son of Man. And he failed. And then he tempted him again at the crucifixion. And he tempted him again in hell. But he didn't fall for the temptation. So he is the perfect way. He is the only way. And your mind has been constructed so the one thing you can do that pleases God is repent. Empty. Abandon yourself. See the emptiness and futility of all human effort. That's the action, that's only action of your mind or your persona that can please God. And it's necessary in every area of your life. Amen? There's no more.
Amen.
Well, who's he talking to? If it's not this, he's talking to your mind that hasn't repented or has raised itself from the dead.
So then all preaching to the old man.
All preaching of the cross is to this point, to see that more and more and more repentance is needed. So there's no theology of glory left in you. his. Christ in you.
While you're alive, while you're happening, like right now.
Well, again, if you have emptied, if you have, then you, it's what's happening is that the word is being made flesh in you, and you inhibit that every time you raise yourself from the dead. So the only action of the mind or the will, there's which is really the same, is the deception of the will, is repentance. The only action, if you see yourself living in cause and effect, is repentance. It's not trying to change. That's the belief that the old man can improve. It's not trying to learn how to do it better. That's, then you have on the Babylonian garment. There's one thing that you do, and that's repent only. That everything else is God's business.
In this repentance, it seems there are many conversations that, I don't know if I want to say degrees of repentance, but there's the repentance that's of God that...
not to be repented of.
Not to be repented of, then there's the repentance of
the world, which leads to sorrow. Again, everything is dependent on seeing the emptiness and futility of your life in every aspect of your life.
I think that's really it. You see it. Repentance is...
It's not automatic.
Well, what else would you do? It's like you talk about going to the bathroom, you don't stand there and look at what you've done.
Well, but you, but the test then are to see if anything can cause him to be resurrected from the dead. And that's why all these, my God, I mean, my life was relatively good until I became a believer. And it's now it's all hell is broken loose.
You know what this is to me? It's like dancing on the King's Kid edge here. Because
oh, God, no.
You can take it right at this point to the King's Kid philosophy, theology.
Well, the King's Kid theology denies the theology of Christ, so it can't be. It's just another heresy. They're a dime a dozen. They're just meaningless heresies.
I'm not saying anything different than that. I'm just saying that this is where the dividing line is to me. You can...
Well, the all of the sonship, you know, the whole charisma, everything is just, you know, whether, I don't care if you're Muslim or a Hindu or an atheist, or it's all the same.
Buddha says the most difficult thing in the universe is for a man to die and be reborn.
Die and be reborn?
Yeah. It's just the same.
Well, I understand. I know a lot about Buddha.
I know you do. I'm just saying that you're talking about that.
Yeah.
But Buddhism makes death.
I won't talk about Buddhism.
Okay. We always come back to the same point, repentance. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. And the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. When you don't do that, the only response isn't to try to figure out how to do it, write a book about it. The response is, see your death. You don't try to die, that's a contradiction in terms. You're bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, not your death. Your death is sure, it's complete.
That word implies time and space, the dying of.
Because God recognizes there will be rebellion. The The rebellion is the only thing that keeps it from being instantaneous. There's no justification for the faith of Abraham or the faith of Isaac, of Jacob. The only justification is the faith of Isaac. Everything else is rebellion.
That must be born out of human nature or something that resists the death.
Of course, everything in human nature does, and that's why the test is so pristine. I mean, stop and think. You never again can do a single thing to help you or yours. That puts you in a quandary of magnitude order. And that has to be, that can only be dealt with alone. But it has to be the fruit of preaching the cross. How that's dealt with you internally, I can't do anything about it. Except if you justify it, then I'll raise all kinds of hell. All right, one more time. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And what he's saying there is everything else is rebellion. It's not excusable. All right, now we're going to start. Let's start getting into.
Can I talk to you about that a little bit? It strikes me when it says that you're supposed to love somebody with all of your mind. It seems like a strange word to love somebody with your mind, especially when we have the opinion of our mind that you convey to us about it being evil and never trusting it and so forth. It doesn't seem to be the right word there.
Well, it is, because now we have the mind of Christ, and the mind of Christ is total emptying. It may have been a poor choice of words for English, but it certainly wasn't when it was spoken. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.
There's a lot of quotations that use the scripture that use the word mind, and sometimes, you know, having heard what you say, when I hear the word mind, I flinch.
Right, as well you should, because that's the point in which you can only understand it by having the mind of Christ, the emptying. Remember, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not something to be equal to God, but made himself of no reputation, kino. He emptied himself to the point of a vacuum, putting all his trust and all his faith and all his obedience on God alone. And if God didn't speak to him, he rested, he waited, he did nothing. If there was options, he did nothing, he waited. And he never spoke to what was apparent. He spoke to what was going on in reality, because he saw through, he knew what was in all men. It says, what does it say? He said he committed himself to no man, for he knew what was in all men. You can dance around this stuff, but you can't. It's all your death. All right. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them. You understand, first he dealt with the Sadducees, now the Pharisees. He's taught this was all in the temple, by the way. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, the son of David. He saith unto them, How then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son? No man was able to answer him. Neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions.
He's not asking.
Hmm?
Let's not ask him any more questions.
Right. That settled it. Everything is a parable of the mystery. And you don't literalize the parable. Or the metaphor, and you don't mix them, that's for sure. When you start mixing metaphors, that's when you get into all kinds of trouble. It's the view of this one mystery from a thousand different view angles. So there is no excuse if you've read the scriptures, because they testify only of him. What are you doing, Mr. Garrett?
I'm thinking of the multiplicity of the human being and all of its natures and all of the repentance that is going on from every facet of a diamond or something like that. Each one of those shiny points has to be seen for what it is. And be willing to
remember, when it talks about love here, it's a verb. It's not agape, it's agapeo. And it simply means to give importance to or give breath to. So if you're not giving more importance, or at least as much importance, to the needs of your neighbor as you are to yourself, then you're not loving. If you believe God, no matter how much emotional component there is. All right. Then, now we get into the... This whole the 23rd chapter alone would have gotten him crucified. And we'll see mostly he's speaking to the scribes and Pharisees. And so you can't dismiss it by saying, well, that's a historical lesson. That's what the modern church does. That's history. You have to see that there's a component of the scribe and Pharisee and Sadducee in each one of us. And this is different aspects of unbelief that keep you from full repentance, and therefore keep you from living by faith. So as we read this, they're not about those guys. They're about you and I. All right? And this is the worst chapter in the Bible from the standpoint of the woes. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. Now this applies to every one of us. In some way, we say and do not. Amen? For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. In other words, they preach this, they preach the law, and they, but they, you know, stop and think how much, I'm back to this thing of the first century church putting 30 to 40% of their budget to meet the needs of the poor in their community or in their neighborhood, if you will. Just think of what that would mean in
now
terms of
30 or 40% away to pay off the pedophiles.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that was a crack.
That was a crack.
Yeah. That was a Catholic crack.
Forgive him, Lord.
It was a Catholic crack, yeah.
Forgive him, Lord. He knoweth not what he doeth.
No, he knows. He knows.
But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. Now, yeah, everybody remember, the phylacteries are the leather case that's bound on the right hand and on the forehead. Harry and I used to think of bumper stickers. And one of them that we had was, this bumper sticker is a phylactery. But no, nobody understand what that meant anyway. So, but many times, that's one of the reasons I've told you before, Harry wouldn't go to the restaurant with me anymore, because if I saw people praying and holding hands at the table, I'd say, you've got your reward. You're praying to be seen of men. And anyway. And they love the uppermost seats at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues and greeting in the markets, to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be ye not called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ. And what it should say, one is your Rabbi, even Christ. And all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father, which is in heaven. Now stop a minute and think about that. Call no man father on earth. By the same token, call no woman mother. The New Jerusalem is our mother. All right. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, neither allow ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore you shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass or go over sea and land to make one proselyte or one convert. And when he is made, you make him twice the child or twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Now how can you make someone the child of hell twice? Twofold the child of hell that you are. Because what they do is, by definition, the human race is a child of hell. And then they make him twofold more the child of hell because they lay on him the law. But their interpretation of the law, meaning that you can do something to fix yourself, you can do something to be better. Makes me crazy, all these books and all the little, you know, every time I watch religious television, it's always how to get something from God. How to do this, how to do that, how to pray, how to have faith, how to have more faith. How much money should you give to get that? How much money should you give to get this? That, I think that, as I said before, I think that verse 15 is the least studied verse in evangelical Christianity. It travel sea and land to make one convert, and when he's made, you make him twice the child of hell that you are. Woe unto you, you blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, that is nothing. But whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. You fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple, that sanctifieth the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing. But whosoever sweareth by the gift upon it, he is guilty. In other words, if they've made a vow to pay something, and then they send him bills if he didn't pay that vow, then that's what this is talking about. You understand?
Not exactly.
Okay. Tilton's whole shtick was to make a vow of faith. And then when they made the vow of faith, and then that was marked down in their membership book. And if they didn't pay the vow, they got done letters from Tilton on varying degrees of warning him of the wrath of God because he didn't fulfill the vow. That's exactly what this is talking about. All right. You fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar sweareth by it, and by all things thereon. And whoso shall swear by the temple sweareth it, by him that dwelleth therein. And he that shall swear by heaven sweareth by the throne of God, and by him that sitteth thereon. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done, and not to leave the other undone. You blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore ye be a witness unto yourselves that you are the children of those which killed the prophets. Fill you up then the measure of your fathers. That's still the plea. Fill you up then the measure of your fathers. Understand that your father was a sinner from the beginning, and that's all he could beget was a sinner from the beginning. Do you understand what that means? Fill up the measure of your fathers?
I don't.
Huh?
I don't know that.
Means that he in one sentence, he destroyed the righteousness of the past. And saying, you, truth, are the one that did it. Because if you were there, you would do the same thing. You would be Cain who slew Abel. You would be Herod who slew Christ. You are the chief of sinners.
Go do this. Maybe it is, because without
it ends up saying is then just another way of saying repent. But if you think there's any righteousness within you,
bring forth fruit necessary for repentance.
Well, that's what this is, right?
We're saying but measure. Are they also another word, judgment? Measure of judgment.
Well, you got to see it. Just all it means is that you've done this. You are. There's no way you are not guilty of the same things and worse that your fathers
yeah.
were. No, here the next. Oh, we're up. You serpents, one other verse. You serpents, you snakes, and sons of snakes. How can you escape the damnation of hell? That's pretty strong. And then this next two verses are the stuff we've studied many times. It's about when the blood of the prophet boiling. We'll talk about that, what it means inside you.